Father, we come before you this morning just rejoicing that we can sing these wonderful songs and lift our voices to you. Lord, we thank you that you are a wonderful God. You are a powerful God, Lord. There's nothing that is going on in our lives that you cannot handle. You're an all-knowing, omniscient God, Lord. There's nothing that you're not aware of in our lives, and you know how it turns out, Lord. Help us to trust you each and every week, each and every day. As we wake up, we put our feet on the floor, and we live to serve you. We live to grow in our relationship with you. Thank you for the worship we've had this morning, Lord. And now I pray as we open up your word that you'll speak to us through your word, Lord, and help us, motivate us. Lord, help us not to just come in and to hear something and to put it in our mind or to be reminded this morning. But Lord, help us to leave this service this morning with something practical that we're committed to do, that we're ready to take the gospel to our neighborhoods, our streets, our workplace, our schools. Lord, may we live for you, and may you encourage us and remind us that you are with us. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You can have a seat. Good to see you guys here this morning. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn, we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke again. We're kind of preaching our way through that. Thank you, praise team. Good work. Man, I'm going to tell you, this past Thursday, we took our senior adults to the senior adult revival at Chestnut Grove Baptist Church. There were 300 seniors there, and let me tell you, the food was amazing. I mean, you guys know we bring food, and you know the senior adults are the ones that they just knock it out, right? Can you imagine 300 senior adults bringing food? It was the dessert table. I kid you not, it wasn't. It was like from here to the back, nothing but amazing desserts. It was awesome. But we took 10 with our church, and we had a good time. And one of the things I loved, we sang one of the songs we sang Living Hope there, and just to be in the sanctuary hearing 300 people praising and singing that song and some other hymns, and man, it was just good stuff. So it reminds me of what heaven's going to be like, right? You know, we're just, you know, and that's one of the things I think as we're a little bit of a smaller congregation, just hearing the voices that when we have a full house, man, it makes so much of a difference. Just it encourages me. So all the more reason for us to invite folks. And I hope that you're doing that. I hope that you're praying for people that you can invite or you can share the gospel with and just bring to church with you on a Sunday. We talked about our 5 for 5 cards leading up to Easter. I pray that you're getting involved in that. You're thinking of people. Maybe you don't have 5, but you've got 2 or 3, or maybe you just got one person on there, and God's just kind of targeted you to say, this is the one person that I need you to focus on to invite to church and to join you this Easter or any service, really. But man, just it was a great time. So I pray that we have times like that here at Westside in the future. So just one more thing before we get into the sermon. If you've not heard yet, Pastor Ben's surgery that was last Monday was great. They went in there, found the tumor, took it all out, they said. The pathology report came back on Thursday afternoon, and Cindy was praising the Lord. It was benign. It was not cancerous. So we praise the Lord for that. And so just keep them in your prayers. He's still kind of recovering from that, but we have many other prayer concerns in our church, so please keep everybody in your prayers. I know we've got people that have come out of surgeries and procedures, and we've got people that are going into them, so pick up that copy of the prayer sheet out there in the hallway, and that'll kind of keep you up to date with what's going on at Westside with our members and what people there. So All right. Well, this morning we're in our fourth week of the series Jesus Changing Lives. It's been pretty easy for Stacy. She's liked it. I've been able just to keep that front cover on there. So keep it on there for 5 weeks. But that's the main point that we're looking at. Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes people's lives. And you know, I think again, we know this, right? You know, each sermon I've got a Captain Obvious point, right? You know, and that might be the general one for the whole series. Jesus changes people's lives. But sometimes we need that reminder. We need to remember that he changed our lives. He can change somebody else's life too. So we've looked at Jesus changing people's life at church and at home and at work. Today we're looking at Jesus changing people's lives on the road here. And this is kind of, it deals with people that we might not really have a real deep relationship. We might not know them real well. It's just people we might happen to come across, people that just we happen to meet. And so, you know, what's our response to situations like that? How do we respond to people on the road, people out in the community, in the neighborhoods where we're at? You know, we go to the store, we go to the post office, the bank, or we're just walking around our neighborhood. What should be our response, and how should we look at those kind of interactions with people this morning? So we're going to look at that here in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 12, and we'll come back and we'll talk about it. All right, starting in verse 12 here. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Do not tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This morning, I kind of fashioned the points I want to bring out to you as four questions, and just the way it just kind of happened to turn out this week, and one question leads to the next, and it just kind of is a continual thing here we're going to look at. But if you're following along, if you're watching online, there's a bulletin on the internet on our webpage. You're welcome to pull that up and follow that as well, and see that. It's also, I think it's on our Facebook group as well. So, but four things I want to point out to you this morning in the form of questions. And the first one is this: who do we happen to meet? Who do you and I happen to meet? We got to experience a little bit of this yesterday. There were seven that went out into the neighborhood. Two stayed back here and prayed and worked on some gospel eggs that we're doing. But we, praise the Lord, we hit 415 homes. That was amazing and good stuff. Our gifts to you are going to be in this week, so I've got an IOU for you seven. And for anybody else that comes this Saturday, 10 o'clock, we have a gift to give you. So if you'll be here, I know you're going to like the gift, and you're going to have some fun too. But yesterday we were out. I got to experience this myself. One of the homes I went to, first door I knocked on in a neighborhood. Actually, I didn't even get to knock on the door. The guy opened the door right as I was about to knock. It's like, oh, this is awkward. But he was doing, I figured out what he was doing. He was doing what I like to do sometimes and play dumb. And he says, "Hi, how are you?" I said, "Hi, I'm John. Just wanting to pass out some information about our Easter activities this spring." And he said, "What's Easter?" I said, "Oh, okay, here you go." And I just had an opportunity to share. And then it wasn't too long before he started asking some questions. I said, "Only a person who's been involved in church would ask a question like that." He said, "What are the prison epistles?" I said, "Oh, okay." And he began to kind of quiz me a little bit. He was checking to see if I was on my toes. But anyway, I had an opportunity. I just happened to meet this gentleman. His name was Josh, and he had a nice conversation with him. But it was unplanned, right? It was just happened to happen. And you and I experience that. We happen to come across people all the time, right? These are things we don't plan to do, but we're going to see here in just a minute. Perhaps those are not so just random as we might think they are. Maybe perhaps God is giving us opportunities to take advantage of these happening type things and to really engage people in some kind of way with either the gospel or scripture or in some other form or fashion here. But look in the passage there. You see in verse 12, it says that a man came along there. Verse 12, a man who was covered with leprosy, but a man came along. This was not something Jesus wasn't headed to meet this guy. He didn't have an appointment with him. This man with leprosy just happened to come along and run into Jesus as he's going through the different towns here. It reminded me of one of my favorite passages in the New Testament in Acts chapter 17 when Paul is in Athens. The verse 17 there of Acts 17, go ahead, Ashlyn, I think it's up there. It says this right there at the beginning of this passage there. It says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, it says that he reasoned with in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks as well as in the marketplaces day by day with those who happened to be there. Paul, he had a mission and he was going, and starting churches, but he also had this habit of just connecting with everybody he could have a conversation with. that was his mindset. His eyes were looking, and we're going to get to that in more in just a minute here, where Paul was just ready. And so for you and I, we experience the same thing. Who do you and I just happen to come across on our week-to-week schedules? It could be the maintenance man at your apartment. It could be the grocery store clerk that maybe you've seen three or four times and you begin to, you have a conversation with them. You pick it up where you left off last time, and these are people that we don't have a planned kind of connection with, but we just still interact with these people week in, week out, day in, day out. It could be some coworkers, could be a number of different people. And this question of who we just happen to meet leads to our next point in the outline, and this is our next question. Who is seeking help? We run into all types of people, right? But not everybody is asking for help. Some people they're walking around with blinders on, right? The things that you put on horses to kind of keep them narrowly focused so they don't wander off and they don't see the stream over here and want to go take a drink of water while you're going on a horseback ride with your youth group and you get scared to death. sometimes they're a little personal story there. But, sometimes people are not asking for help, but some are. Some people are. In this passage here, there again at verse 12, it says, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. He was seeking help. He was seeking help. This is kind of a similar point to something I preached last year, when I was talking about, do we have the eyes? Are we looking for people? Are we so focused on our own self that we sometimes ignore the needs of other people? And I can be guilty of that. I'm not a perfect pastor. There are times when I'm like, man, I really miss this. I really miss this opportunity to minister to that person. I got so busy with something else. And we can all be like that, but especially when we get out in the community, maybe we're done with work, we've got a rush, and we're trying to make a quick stop at the grocery store or something, and we're going to get home and get dinner going or whatever it might be. Sometimes we can be narrowly focused like that. We can not be looking at the needs of somebody else, and I'm going to get in, get out, real quick, boom, boom, boom. We can be so time focused that we miss opportunities to help other people and really to minister to them or to help them out in some way. This man had leprosy, right? Now, in the Bible, leprosy was a skin disease that, it was really something that had a lot of different connotations to it. It could have been something like a, you know, as minimal as like a, you know, eczema or something like that, or it could have been something that was very pronounced. You know, the term leprosy was kind of just generally used to describe it, so we don't know exactly how bad or how minimal this guy had leprosy, but we do know what happened to lepers, don't we? You know, this was a disease that didn't just affect their skin, their physical ability, and it may have been itchy and caused all sorts of problems, but leprosy also affected a person's social status and their relationships because of the laws that they had to stay 50 paces away from everybody else, you know. And I think I counted this off one time before, but from here to the back doors there is about 49 paces. So that's about how far somebody had to stay away from people if they had leprosy. They were not allowed to be any closer to that. And if you were coming down the road and you had leprosy, you had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," you know, "Hey, don't come near me, I've got the leprosy," you know, whatever, "I've got the crud." And that's how they had to stay separated in their life. So it more than just affected their skin, it affected their ability to have relationships with people. And so it was a lot deeper than that. One thing I want to notice about this too, though, did you notice what the leper said here in verse 12? It says, look at his faithful statement here. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." It wasn't, "Can you make me clean?" It was, "You can make me clean." He knew that Jesus could heal him. He wasn't hopeful. He wasn't, "Maybe you can do it." He says, "If you're willing, Jesus, I know you can. You can make me clean." And I bring that up to you this morning. Maybe there's somebody in here and you've got a need this morning. Maybe it's a physical need. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a relationship. And I just want to remind you, if you have a need, the Lord can handle it. Now, what I'm not saying is that, man, he's gonna handle it like you want him to handle it. He's gonna answer your prayer in exactly how you've been praying, but God can handle it. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you've been trying to handle it on your own. Maybe you've been doing everything in your power to take care of the issue, but you've maybe neglected to pray about it and seek the Lord and ask him for some wisdom on how to handle this situation, whatever it might be, or a need that you have. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you have a need, bring it to the cross. Bring it to the one Savior who can do something about it. You know, and God may use some of his people. God may use another Christian. God may use a friend to help you, but are we taking that need to the Lord? This leper had a faith, and he came to Jesus. "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And I just want to encourage us. Sometimes we get lost in the, in the modern day medicine. "Oh, well, this is just something I've got to deal with. This is just my lot." But let's not forget and let's not neglect going to the Lord in prayer about whatever needs that you and I might have. This leads to our second question here. Our third question is who can help people? Who can help people? And this is again your Captain Obvious point for the day. Does anybody know who I'm talking about when I say Captain Obvious? It was this commercial. I forget what it was, like a travel agency or whatever. Yeah, Captain Obvious. He was the one that was saving people money or whatever. But your Captain Obvious point for this morning is who can help people? And I know what you're thinking. Yeah. Oh, this is it, Brother John. This is it. This is the Sunday school answer. It's Jesus, right? He can help people. Yes, you're right. You got it right. But I also want you to see something else here. You know, Jesus said in verse 13, he says, "I am willing," he said, "be clean." So Jesus is the one who can help people. But I also want to turn it a little bit. It says, I am willing. I want to turn that on you and I this morning. Not only Jesus can help people, but guess what? I can help people. What is the song that's by Chris? And he says, God, why don't you do something? I forget the exact title of it, but he's going around. He says, I see all these things, people living in poverty. And you know, he says, I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? And the song, the chorus, kind of craftily says, I did do something. I created you. God wants to use you and I. He wants to work through us to handle needs. Yes, God can miraculously heal someone. Yes, God can do many, many, many things. But perhaps God might want to use you and I to be the hands and feet, so to speak, to quote another Christian song, Casting Crowns. But God might want to use us to meet a need. So that question there, who can help someone? Yes, Jesus can help someone, but look at, you know, Jesus said, I am willing. Are you and I willing, church? Are you and I willing? I think the Lord tests me sometimes. I had a test this past Thursday. We got back from the senior adult revival and I was pumped up, excited, but I was also like, man, I got a lot to do because we were gone all Thursday and I've got stuff that I've got to make up and finish doing. And I sat down, was talking with Stacy about some things. About 10 minutes later, someone came in the church and said, hey, I just want to make you aware that there's somebody over here in the ball field parking lot that you might want to meet, and that maybe you can help meet some of their needs. And I'll be honest with you, I was like, man, I don't have time for this. I've been gone all day. I've done that before. I've already helped people like that before. I don't really need to do that. Maybe I don't want to, you know? And so I went back to my office and I was like, and the Lord just sat there quietly talking to my head and said, yes, you do, Pastor John. Because if you don't, you're going to have a bad sermon example on Sunday. Didn't even think about that, you know? So I got up and I said, all right, I'm going to go see. So I told Stacey, I'm going to go down and see who this is in the parking lot that this person told me about. And sure enough, met a family, husband and wife, four children, and had an opportunity to pray with them and kind of get a little bit aware of their situation, and very, very nice. Found out their needs and was able to meet a few of their needs pretty easily. You know, and I got thinking after that was all said and done, you know, what if my attitude had stopped me? And I said, I don't want to do it. I got stuff to do. You know, what about that? You know, but thank goodness I listened to the voice in my head there. Probably would have gotten louder and louder until I would obey. But it was something that I easily met. They needed information. They didn't need $200. They didn't need something else. They needed some information. And I was able to get them some information. And so that was all I needed. And sometimes I think God tests me like that. You know, are you really serious? Are you going to help somebody? Are you going to really meet this need? I found a lot of times if I initially start out and try to meet that need, a lot of times that need gets met mostly by something else. And my part is just minimal. And, you know, I wonder about that. I don't know if God, you guys feel like God does that to you or not. Maybe you're getting tested. But who can help? Jesus can help, obviously, but guess what? There's our part in that too, church. As we come across people who are looking for help, we can't give people the world. I understand that. We have to go within our boundaries and the things that we have. We can't make ourselves poor. We can't, you know, charge up the credit card and go $20,000 in debt to help somebody else out. I understand that, but we can do something. There's possibly something that you and I can do. And if we all work together, that makes that burden lighter, doesn't it? You know, it's what Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, for my burden is light. When Jesus carries the load, the burden that we carry is much lighter. So I just want to encourage you this morning, you know, Jesus touched the man. He healed him. You know, that was something that probably many people wouldn't do. They wouldn't touch somebody with leprosy. They would stay far, far away from him. But Jesus was willing, and he touched the man and healed him. And my question to you this morning is are you and I willing? First, are we looking for people that need help? But then secondly, are we willing to help? Are you and I willing to help? And this leads to the last question here in the sermon this morning, is this, that who do you share it with? Who do you and I share it with? You know, Jesus healed the leper, and then he says, don't go tell anybody about it. You know, and if you've been with us here in Luke for a number of weeks now, this is probably the second or third time that Jesus said, shh, don't tell anybody about it. I healed you. Just keep it to yourself. You know, keep it to yourself. And we learn a little bit about this from this story in the Gospel of Mark, and why, maybe you've asked your question, why did Jesus tell people not to tell? Wouldn't that be a good thing for him to know about? Well, if you go to the Gospel of Mark here, and I'll put it up on the screen, but Mark chapter 1, verses 43 through 45, they give us an explanation of why Jesus didn't want people to spill the beans, so to speak, and explain it here. Is that up on there? Maybe I didn't put it up there. Okay, I'm just going to read it, so thank you. I can't remember what I do in my own notes, but this is Mark chapter 1, verse 43. It says, Jesus sent him away, this is the same leper here, with a strong warning, see that you don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. And listen here, this is part of the story we don't get in the Gospel Luke. It says, instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, this is perhaps why Jesus would tell people all the time, hey, don't tell anybody I healed you, but you don't have to spread it. It says, as a result here, verse 45, as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So Jesus knew, man, if more and more word gets out, I'm just going to be swamped with people. I'm not going to be able to do what my main mission is, that is to teach and to share my teaching, and ultimately maybe even that might affect me going to the cross, because I'm just going to be seen as some, you know, magic healer, and people are just going to come to me everywhere and just, oh, heal me and touch me and do this. And I think that gives us a clue here why Jesus kind of often said, hey, shh, don't tell anybody, you know. So we get a little more information from the Gospel of Mark here. So Jesus tells him not to tell anybody. Well, he goes and he does. But and still, too, did you think about that? Jesus probably knew he was going to go talk anyway, and he still healed the man. So think about that. As you and I go, as we live our Christian faith, even though people might not accept what we do or be appreciative or thankful, we still should do it, because that's what Christ did. You know, even if we help somebody and maybe they don't appreciate it like we expect them or we wanted them to. Oh, they didn't write me a thank you note. I'm not going to help them again. They didn't. You know, hey, we still give. We still serve. But Jesus did tell the man, he says, go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded you to do. So there's this point here where Jesus didn't want any of the credit. He's like, hey, you don't have to tell him I did anything, but just go and cleanse yourself. Go to the priest, offer the sacrifices so that you can reconnect with your relationship. You can reconnect with the temple again. Remember, he had leprosy. He was not allowed to come into the temple. He was unclean. Jesus said, now go and offer yourself to the priest. Get that clean bill. Get that. You can go back to work. Excuse from your doctor, so to speak. Go to the priest so that he can show that you're clean, and you can go back and offer sacrifices, and you can follow the law again. Do you and I, church, Do we take time to share about the good things that God does in our lives or through us in the lives of other people? You know, this is, I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. This is one thing that I feel like I need to improve on. You guys help me. Let's remember to celebrate. Let's remember to go back and recap some of the things that God has done. And to remember, hey, wow, God, man, God used seven people yesterday to hit 417 homes. And have maybe a few conversations with people, and that's powerful. And that's just one example. But when God uses us, when we see those needs, when we connect with people, let's encourage one another. Let's remember to you know, that one thing, you know, I mentioned this before, when Johnny has a salvation down at Cambridge there, down the street, he calls to share about it. Man, we praise the Lord together, and that stokes my fire, because God is still doing things in people's lives. And so let's not just do something. Now, we don't brag about it and we say, I did this, and me. It's not that, but it's what God is doing in the lives of people. And so let's remember to share that. Let's remember to point other people. Let's celebrate what God is doing in people's lives. This morning, we're coming to a close here this morning. And I've got some questions for you to look at on the board. You know, church, are your eyes open? Are you paying attention? Are we looking for people that need help? Or are we so busy that we don't have time for that? Man, I got to go. I've got so much in my life, you know. We could all say, that, you know, if anything going on in our own lives was an excuse, then we could all say, I don't have time for that. I've got this in my life. But that's no excuse, is it? Even in the things that we deal with, there's maybe something that we can do. There's that ability for us to look and to recognize who might need help. Now, it might limit what we can do if we have things going on in our life, but it shouldn't stop us. And the second question there, you know, do we seek to help people, or do we think that somebody else can do it? You know, oh, well, I see the need, but somebody else needs to take that. And we, that somebody else, he does a lot, doesn't he? Somebody else can do that. I forget the sermon illustration Pastor Ben used to share, but it was somebody else. He was always doing something else. But is there some personal onus for you and I that, hey, I can take part of it. Maybe I can't do everything. I can't meet all that need, but I can do something. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, church. Have your eyes open. Look, as you leave today, as you go throughout your work week this week, be looking for some needs and pray, God, how would you have me to meet somebody's need? And my second question for you, or other questions, are you here this morning and you have a need? And maybe you're not turning it over to Christ? I want to encourage you this morning, you know, maybe come down to the altar here. We're going to have a time where we call it an invitation time, where you can pray in the pew, you can come down here, you can pray for a need that you might have in your life. Maybe you've not prayed about it before. Maybe you think it's, oh, this is just an insignificant need. I don't really need to pray about that. Scripture tells us we can pray about everything, big or small. And no matter what the need is, you might think, oh, you know, we can handle this, but maybe you pray about that small need, and maybe God wants to do something else or use some other way that you're not even considering. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a need. The greatest need that all of us have as human beings is we need to have a relationship with Christ. Every single person here, and I don't know where you're at. I don't know every single person here today. But do you know for sure that you know that you know that you know that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? And if the answer to that question is maybe, I think so, or I hope so, I want to remind you that the Bible says that you can know. You don't have to guess. You don't have to live in limbo. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you so that you may know that you have eternal life." God gave us his word so that we can know how we can have a relationship with him. And we go through the gospel every week, you know. Number one there, G, God created us to be with him. That was his design from the very beginning. Our sins separated us from God. Adam and Eve made a choice, like Bobby mentioned this morning. They chose to eat of the fruit of the tree that God told them not to, and sin entered the world. And then the Bible teaches us that sins cannot be removed by good deeds. There's nothing that you and I could do to be good enough. It's not a scale thing where if I do enough good things, it outweigh my bad things. It's not about that. And because it's not about that, that's why God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. And that's the letter P there, paying the price for sin. Jesus died and rose again. Jesus paid the debt that you and I could not pay, it was way, way too much for us to pay. So he paid it. He died for our sins. And then E, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. If you know that you're a sinner, you know that God loves you, and that you know that Jesus died for your sins, If you will make a decision, either this morning, tomorrow, anytime, if you make a decision to follow Christ, if you will place your trust, your faith in him, you can have eternal life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And that leads to the last point there is on the L, is life begins now and lasts forever. God wants to not only give you eternal life, but he wants to give you a life that's filled with hope and joy now. Not a perfect life. Again, that's different. No one has a perfect life. But we have a life where Christ will be with us. He will go through the valleys. He'll go through the shadows of death with us, because he's our Savior. And so I don't know where you're at this morning. If you've never asked Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, maybe you know a bunch of facts about Jesus. You know about the Bible, but you've never personally chosen to trust him yourself. I want to give you that opportunity this morning. And I want to just say a little prayer, and you can say it out loud or quietly in your head. And if you mean it with all your heart, then Christ will come in and he will start a new process in your life to change you into being more like Christ. He can help you. So if you're ready this morning, if you'd like to ask Christ to come in your life, if you bow your head this morning, say something to the Lord like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that you love me, and I know that you died on the cross for my sins. Today, God, I want to invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to put my faith and trust in you. And help me to follow you as Lord of my life. Thank you for coming into my life. In Jesus' name, amen." If this morning we're going to have, like I said, an invitation time, you can come down here and pray about something. Maybe there's a need you have and you just want to take it to the Lord. You can pray in the pew, but I found sometimes it means a little more to step out and come down, especially if I'm wrestling with a decision, if I'm wrestling with struggling with some obedient issues. Sometimes it's good to step out. But if you're here this morning and you want to pray about something, you can come down. If you prayed that prayer just a minute ago and you asked Christ to come into your life, if you want to come down, just shake my hand, say, "Hey, I prayed that prayer. What do I do now? What's next? I want to just help you in your next steps as you follow Christ." For others of you, maybe you want to pray about yourself and how you see people and how you are looking, and maybe you want to pray about how you can be more involved in ministering to other people, whether they're people at your workplace, in your neighborhood, people you meet in the neighbor, in the community. We're going to have a time of invitation. Let's pray, and I'm going to turn it over to the praise team. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us where we're at this morning, sitting in the pews. Lord, encourage us. Give us a nudge on what we need to do and how we need to be obedient and how we need to walk out our faith this morning, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, that you are speaking to us through the silence. Lord, help us, even as we leave here this morning, to continue to communicate and to listen to your Spirit, Lord, as you prod us and you help us learn what we need to do to walk out our faith in a practical way. Lord, help us to look, help us to have the eyes where we see people in their needs. Lord, we just pray now as we come to this time, we give our tithes and our offerings. Lord, I pray that you'll take the gifts that are given, multiply and use it for your kingdom work, Lord. Lord, we thank you that as we give to missions and missionaries in our county and around our state, Lord, it was reminded exactly that, we are funding or helping fund 9 church starts by giving to the Gwinnett Metro Baptist Network each and every month, Lord, and that we have a small part in that as we give our tithes and our offering, not only to provide for ministry here at Westside, but Lord, we're helping to fund new church plants that are coming into Gwinnett and helping people be reached with the gospel. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for those who give, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. As the offering plate's been passed, just reminder there, everything's in the bulletin. If we didn't talk about it, check out that bulletin. It's got all the announcements in there. Tonight, we'll have our Sunday night Bible study. We're in the book of Colossians at 6 o'clock. We'll finish up the last part of chapter 2 tonight. So we have a good time on Sunday nights and a lot of discussion. It's not preaching. It's a time we can talk back and discuss things. So if you like that kind of environment, feel free to come on Sunday night. So we'll see you guys again. Remember, no Awana Wednesday night, but students and young adults and all that prayer meeting still on. So God bless you guys. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you later.